Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
We now find ourselves in the season of Lent, a time of kind of pausing out of our normal routine of just going through the church calendar as we prepare for the coming of Easter, which is really the highlight of the church, of the Christian calendar. But during the season of Lent, the idea is that we can, as human beings, we can fall into routines and just rituals, into habits that sometimes we don't even think about, but we just kind of go through the motions. And during Lent, the idea is that you are, if you will, to give something up or to change some behavior during the season in order to get a fresh perspective on your life and on where you're going. And so during the season of Lent, we've entered a time of questioning, a time of asking questions of where am I? Where am I going? Is this the path that God has really laid out before me? Am I going in the right direction? And I found this quote that I think really shapes the direction that we're heading from Pope Benedict, who said, "Lent stimulates us to let the Word of God penetrate our life, and in this way to know the fundamental truth, who we are, where we come from, where we must go, what path we must take in life." Lent is a season of evaluation, of reflecting on who we are, who we've become, and what the future has in store for us. And so during this season of Lent, as we open up God's Word, let it speak to us about our own journey, about who we are, and more importantly, who we are becoming. This morning, we're going to continue by looking at the questions that Jesus asked people. Throughout his ministry, when Jesus encountered people going through their very normal, everyday routines, he asked questions in such a way that invited not just a simple answer, but a deeper understanding of who they are. This morning we're going to take a look at a passage from John chapter 4. It's the story that you know so well. It's the story of the Samaritan woman. And the question that he asks her that almost releases the floodgate of emotions and feelings in her that allows a fresh perspective. It's like opening up the window in springtime and allowing that breeze to come in and just kind of cleanse the whole house. So let us right now consider God's word as he's speaking these questions to us. Will you join with me as we center our lives on God's word? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own. And I know he has a purpose for my life. Reading from John chapter 4. Now Jesus had learned that the Pharisees had heard he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, allow your word into our lives to shape who we are and who we're becoming. Allow us to see the path that is before us and give us the courage to walk it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus engaged people through questioning. Now, there are several kinds of questions that we've talked about in the past, that there is the simple question asking for information. Where are you going for lunch? And you could give me an answer. How old are you? And there is an answer. That is a question that just gives rise to a very simple answer. I learned this week, however, as I began thinking about this, that there's another kind of question. There's a question that has the answer contained in it. I may be speaking primarily to the men in our group, but have you ever had your wife ask you a question like this? You're not going to do that, are you? And the answer is, no, I'm not. Wouldn't it be nice if you did this? And the answer is, yes, it would be. You're not going to say that, are you? And of course, the one I hear most often, you're not going to wear that together, are you? And the answer is, no, I'm not. So there are kind of questions that ask for information. There's kind of questions that are trying to redirect you. And then there are the kind of questions that force you to think deeply about where you are. Jesus asked a style of question that is known as the Socratic method, the kind that is inviting the learner, the listener, to think about their answer. And oftentimes, it does not give rise to a simple expression of yes or no. And we see this in this case. The question that Jesus is asking, will you give me a drink, did not give rise to a simple yes or no answer, but almost opened up the floodgates for what's going on in her life. Jesus knew and touched on a nerve. And sometimes we as Christians, we don't want to face those questions. We don't like those questions because they touch a nerve. But the idea is that at the end of the day, the questions that we are asking of ourselves, of who we are, who are you, and who are you becoming, what are you known for, shapes who you become. And so if we hide away from these questions, these hard questions, we limit what God can do in our lives. And so this morning I want to start by asking that simple question, what are those kind of questions that you are avoiding? The starting point of every discovery begins with a question. Who are you? And who are you becoming in Christ? Jesus encounters this woman who has been coming to the well and asks us very simple but yet profound question. Will you give me a drink? Now, for us, it seems like a very simple question. But for her, it opened the floodgates of all kinds of emotions that began to flow out of her. And she begins to say, how can you ask me that kind of a question? Don't you know the barriers? Don't you know the protocol? Don't you know proper etiquette? Jews don't talk to Samaritans. Men don't talk to women. And don't you know who I am? And so she's forced to look at her life and all of these emotions. The fact that he engaged her in a conversation opens up the floodgates. And I wonder sometimes, what is Jesus inviting us? What questions is he inviting us? Will you help me? Will you participate with me in sharing the good news? And maybe we respond, don't you know who I am? Don't you know what my station is? Don't you understand? There's so much more that God wants to do. Will you give me a drink? Jesus comes to her and he offers to engage her in a conversation, and he invites all of us to be a part of it. He questions us about who we are because he wants to confront our fears. When Jesus comes, he confronts at her very core her deepest fears. You probably know this story that it says that she comes at noon. Now, in these kind of arid conditions, very hot conditions, people went to draw water in the cool of the day, either early in the morning or in the evening. But for some reason, this woman has become kind of ostracized. She's kind of the outcast. Maybe it's the stories that the other women were telling, or maybe it's the innuendos that were going around town that she comes in the heat of the day and Jesus engages her greatest fear. that maybe she will be discovered for who she really is. But he invites her to participate with him. Will you do a bit of kindness for somebody else? Will you extend yourself just a little bit? Will you engage and go beyond the borders of conventional rule and do something kind for somebody else? And she says, don't you know who I am? Sometimes our greatest fears keep us captive. Our status and our standings is just another form of isolation, a way of keeping ourselves behind protective borders. And when Jesus invites you into his story, it's so that he can do even more to expand your connections. Will you do a little bit of kindness for somebody else? What is your greatest fear? To be discovered, to stand up and to share what you know, to have somebody else know your story? If you follow the rest of John's gospel, you find that he basically then later invites, says, well, you bring your husband and let your husband come and we'll share this story. And she is finally has to face what's going on in her life. Sometimes we want to hide away so much that we never really get to who we are. We never really know who we are. And God is kind of put on the outside. But Jesus confronts her fears by connecting her back to God's promises. You see, in John's gospel, he lays out that Jesus was leaving to go from Jerusalem, from Judea, to Galilee. Now, a good rabbinic, purity-driven Jew would have gone around Samaria. He chooses to go right through it. And John says, not only that, but he goes to this town called Sychar, where Jacob's well is. And the woman knows this. This is Jacob's well, one of the great patriarchs of Judaism. They have a history. They know all about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this was Jacob's well. Not only that, but Jacob drank from this, and Joseph and his sons and all of their families. There is a history to it. And Jesus reconnects her to that story and says, not only is there water here, but there's going to be living water that's available to you. God hasn't forgotten about you. If you knew who I was, if you knew that Jewish story, if you knew that history, then you would know who I am. And I have come to bring you living water. Do you feel that water in your own life, that story, that freedom that Jesus is promising? That idea that we've been closed off for so long, but now we have the possibility of new life. The freedom to drink deeply. And she's intrigued by this, and it calls her ever deeper. She says, how are you going to get this kind of water? Because the ordinary ways of a bucket and a rope aren't going to work. And Jesus says, don't you know? The water I'm talking about is eternal life. It's about passion and forgiveness and mercy. That's the living water that's going to well up inside of you. Jesus wants to confront your fears so that he can reconnect you to the promises. If you're still hiding away, if you're still reluctant, then Easter really hasn't quite grabbed a hold of you yet. It really hasn't made sense to you because Easter is the liberation. It is the beginning of a new life, not the end of an old one. Jesus confronts our fears so that he can connect us to God's promises in order that we can begin to live with a renewed sense of confidence and courage. At the end of the story, this woman who had come to the well in the heat of the day in order to avoid the glances and the innuendo of everybody else is now so energized by what Jesus has said and who Jesus is and the promises that she's already discovered. She leaves her bucket and she heads back to these same people and says, you have got to see what I've found. And I often think, is that going to be the key that we've been looking for? Have you found the living water? If you find the energy that goes with it, if you find the refreshment and the renewal and the story that goes with it. She was so energized by what she had. She had renewed confidence. She was no longer afraid of anything. Jesus knew her full well and still made the promises. She wasn't afraid of the community. She had renewed sense of courage because she had something to share, something that she had worth giving. Sometimes it's knowing who we are on the inside that gives rise to the story that comes on the outside. I think whenever we begin to fully grasp the question, will you show a bit of kindness? It means that we have to be content with who we are. We have to understand the flaws and the foibles, but we have to also embrace the mercy and the promises and the forgiveness. This morning, we've added to our time of worship a sense of a healing process, a healing service. We want to invite you to come, and whatever's kind of keeping you down, and everybody's got fears of being noticed, fears of ridicule, fears of the person sitting next to you. Whatever it may be, to come forward and receive forgiveness, receive the living water, the promise of Christ, and receive that renewal. It's free to just come as you are led and feel God's presence working in you. As we begin, let us connect with a time of reflection and a liturgy for our healing time together. You'll see in the liturgy there's time for response as we join together in a spirit of prayer and a spirit of forgiveness. Let us join together in prayer. Jesus, lover of my soul, long ago in Galilee, many who were sick and suffering needed friends to bring them to your side. Confident of your goodness, we now bring to you those who need your healing touch. We name before you those who are ill in body, whose illness is long or painful or difficult to cure, who suffer restless days and sleepless nights. Jesus Christ, lover of all, bring healing, bring peace. We name before you those who are troubled in mind, distressed by the past or dreading the future, those who are trapped and cast down in fear. Jesus Christ, lover of all, bring healing, bring peace. We name before you those for whom light has been turned to darkness by the death of a loved one, the breaking of a friendship, the fading of hope. Jesus Christ, lover of all, bring healing, bring peace. In silence, we name before you the burdens of our own hearts, the cancer of bitterness, the twisted hands of avarice and greed, the paralyzed soul of our hardened hearts. We cannot hide from you, O God, who we are and our need for healing. Jesus Christ, lover of all, bring healing, bring peace. God of life, you are as near to us in this moment as our breath. Touch our eyes that we may see you. Open our ears that we may hear your voice. Enter our hearts that we may know your love. Grace our souls and bodies with your presence that we might feel your strength, your healing touch. Come, God of breath and wholeness, in the name of Jesus Christ.